The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Reproduction Line.
Ed, this is the library.
The last room, I may add. Hope I'm not wearing you out, Mr. Gennaro.
But not at all. For years, I have heard of the Stafford Collection. This is a pleasure, I assure you.
Well, you're very kind.
Perhaps, but I am also very practical. It is not every day that a dealer has the opportunity to purchase original pieces from the Stafford collection. Ah, a carved oak armoire. Magnificent. Regency, is it not 1715?
I'm afraid you have me there. My late wife was the expert when it came to antiques. All I ever did was pay for them.
I understand. The armoire is not on the list for sale, as I recall.
No. In this room, just that cabinet and couch there. 32 pieces, all told.
Mr. Stafford.
Yes?
I presume you have a price in mind for the 32 pieces.
An approximate price, yes. Would it be too much if I asked $200,000?
$200,000.
Too much?
I am afraid so, Mr. Stafford.
All right, you name a figure. I want a fair price, not a profit.
A fair price? Let me see. For all 32 pieces, I will quote you a figure of $6,500.
Beg pardon?
$6,500. The pieces are worth no more than that.
Mr. Gennaro, if this is your idea of humor...
It isn't, believe me. But you do not have to take my word. Any antiquaire will tell you the same. The pieces you have shown me are not authentic antiques, Mr. Stafford. Each of them is no more than a clever reproduction.
Wanted by this bureau for fraud and unlawful flight to avoid prosecution, Marius Andre with aliases. This man, an expert cabinet maker, is working a new swindle involving valuable antiques. Gifted in the art of furniture reproduction, Andre...
Ta-da! Home in it. Très bien, très bien. Qui parle?
It's me, Marius, Randy.
Randy, my friend, come in, come in.
Thank you.
Here, let me take your hat. You got breakfast?
I had lunch 2 hours ago. And you can come off the accent, you phonist. This is me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Hear what, Marius?
My shotgun, I was antiquing the top of an Antoinette dining table.
Oh, I see. And my Louis Chaiselong?
The Chaiselong? Oh, yes, that's finished. Also, the rootwood desk. I put on the bronze mounts only last night.
Oh, how does it look?
The desk? If you can tell it from the original Reisner, you are more of an expert than you think you are.
That's your only fault, Marius. You have no respect for my noble profession.
On the contrary, my friend, I have the highest respect. If it wasn't for art dealers, antiquaire, or whatever other names you choose to call yourselves, where would Marius Andre be, eh? Randy, you'll join me in a glass of wine?
No, thanks. I've made that mistake before. I want to be able to see these reproductions. Where are they?
In the studio. Come, I'll show you.
Now, Antoinette dining table, huh? You have a prospect?
For the table? Oh, not yet.
You do now.
Male or female?
Does it matter?
Does it matter? Of course it doesn't matter. I just prefer dealing with female, that's all.
Marius, you were right. The desk is identical to the Reisner.
It should be. It is the Reisner.
Huh?
That is the desk you brought to me. This is my reproduction over here. Well?
If you hadn't told me, Marius, I wouldn't know which was which. Why, even the dents are identical. How do you do it?
Wooden hammer, sandpaper, fired shellac to give it age. Oh, each artist has his own technique.
And the wormholes?
My shotgun.
You're a genius, Marius, no doubt about it. You know, If Mrs. Kenmore approves my repair work on the desk and the chaise, she virtually assured me the work on the rest of her 20-room home.
20 rooms? Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful operation, my friend. Pick up an authentic antique and return in its place an authentic reproduction.
I always say, Marius, what my wealthy clientele doesn't know won't hurt them. Mrs. Kenmore's also in the market for a dining table, Marius. A Robert Adam mahogany with 12 legs.
Uh-huh. So, Marius André arrives with the table, and the good woman invites her art dealer, Mr. Randolph, to verify its authenticity, correct?
Not quite. She invites Mr. Randolph to verify its authenticity, all right, but what does Mr. Randolph do?
He verifies it.
He denounces it as nothing but a reproduction.
He what?
Denounces it flatly. A pseudo-classical imitation, an out-and-out fraud.
Randy!
In fact, only unwanted publicity keeps Mr. Randolph from calling the police.
Oh. Randy, you are the genius.
Well, anyway, I'm in solid with our benefactor, Mrs. Kenmore.
Only one thing.
Yeah?
Robert Adam is 18th century English.
Of course. And Marius André of Paris becomes Andrew Marius, art dealer from London.
Good. I'm tired of being French all the time. I have an authentic Robert Adam from the home of Bernard Shaw.
Shaw was Irish.
From the home of Winston Churchill.
Okay, you know the line. Now, when can I have it? Tomorrow?
You know, you'll have to give me time, Randy. If you wanted 17th century French with four legs, you could have it tomorrow. But 18th century English with 12 legs, that's 100 years difference. You'll have to give me till the end of the week.
Back to the reproduction line in just a moment. Friends, one reason it's a good idea to chew Wrigley's spearmint gum every day is that it satisfies you without being rich or filling. You can chew Wrigley's spearmint after meals, between meals, anytime, and as long as you want. You'll get your satisfaction from the delicious flavor and the natural, pleasant chewing. Wrigley's spearmint gum is wholesome and good for you. So make your daily treat Wrigley's spearmint chewing gum. It's a treat you can trust for healthful daily enjoyment. Always keep a package or two of Wrigley's spearmint gum handy in your purse or pocket. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Act two of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, the reproduction line.
This is the Kenmore residence.
I'd like to speak with Mrs. Kenmore, please. This is Mr. Andrew Marius of the Marius Galleries in London. I'm calling at the suggestion of the American Foundation of British Isles Decorative Art.
More tea, Mr. Marius?
Oh, no, thank you, Mrs. Kenmore. That was delightful.
Oh, but you're not going so soon. You've only just arrived.
Oh, you're very kind, but it seems that I'm here under false pretenses.
False pretenses?
Yes, when the Foundation informed me that a Mrs. Elizabeth Kenmore was offering an authentic Bordeaux circular salon for sale, I could scarcely contain my excitement. And so my telephone call. Now, when I find the exquisite salon is not for sale...
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Marius. I just don't know how the Foundation received such information. None of my things was ever offered for sale.
Well, it doesn't matter, really. At least it has presented me with the opportunity of making the acquaintance of a most charming lady.
Well, then you'll please the lady by not feeling you're forced to leave because of false pretenses. Why, you haven't even finished the story. What happened after the bombing?
Well...
Oh, please.
Well, as I say, I was responsible for all the furnishings at 10 Downing. Of course, we knew that if an invasion should follow the V2s, the building would be a principal target of the Nazis, so I ordered all of the interiors evacuated to a safe underground area in South Kensington.
No more tea, you're sure?
Oh, quite, thank you. Well, of course, the invasion never happened, but ironically enough, the safe area was hit directly by a rocket, and it wasn't until long after the war's end that a clearing of the ruins began. Mm. That was when permission was granted me to purchase any of the furnishings recovered.
Just imagine, but wasn't everything completely crushed?
Just about everything, except a Robert Adam table and two Chippendale chairs. Naturally,
most... A Robert Adam table?
A dining table, yes.
Well, if this isn't the strangest coincidence in all the world...
I beg pardon?
Mr. Marius, your table wouldn't happen to be here in this country, would it?
Oh, why, yes, and the Chippendales, too. The Foundation is going to auction them for me.
Oh, but how could you bear to part with such a prize?
Every great art has a price, Mrs. Kenmore. My two brothers were killed in the war. I've been the sole support of both their families, as well as my own. A good price on the table will feed them for another year, will clothe them.
Yes, of course, I understand.
I think you do, Mrs. Kenmore. Well, I really must leave now.
Oh, I'm sorry, but, you know, Robert Adam is the coincidence that I mentioned. Do you realize I've been looking for just such a table for my dining room?
You don't mean
it. Oh, I do mean it. You must let me see it, Mr. Marius.
Well, then, I'm going to do more than that, Mrs. Kenmore. I'm going to let you live with it. The table will be delivered. You will sit by it. You will dine from it. Then, if at the end of, say, a week, you should decide you might want it...
Oh, that's a splendid idea.
Of course, there is one condition.
Yes?
I am a stranger on your shores, Mrs. Kenmore. Your restaurants are unfamiliar to me. If, perhaps, when you are dining, I... well...
Yes, of course. You're invited to dinner any night you like, Mr. Marius.
Good. The condition is met. On behalf of Robert Adam and myself... May I say you have made two gentlemen very, very happy.
Go on, gentlemen.
Well, as I say, Mr. Stevens, I resisted a long time before letting Mr. Gennaro write you FBI people that letter. The matter was, to say the least, embarrassing.
Mr. Stafford did not want any publicity. But when he was convinced that he had been swindled out of some $200,000...
Swindled, Mr. Gennaro?
This is not the right word?
It's the right word, all right. Swindled.
Suppose you begin at the beginning.
Well, the beginning's about 3 months ago, Mr. Stevens. I decided to give up my home in the city and sell most of the furnishings. Mr. Gennaro had heard of the Stafford collection and asked to look it over. But instead of finding the authentic pieces, I had every right to believe they were.
He found in their place some very clever reproductions.
You are familiar with decorative art, Mr. Stevens?
Not very, I'm afraid, but I am most familiar with this swindle. Miss Gilbert, will you ask Agent Reynolds to get the Marius Andre file and step in here with it? Thank you.
Marius Andre?
You mean someone else has been swindled in the same way, Mr. Stevens?
Probably several someone else's. But unlike yourself, they decide against reporting it. That, or they never discover their authentic antiques are neither antique nor authentic. Mr. Stafford, didn't your wife, over the years, ever have her treasured collection reupholstered, refinished, reglued?
Well, yes, certainly. A man named Randolph, as I recall, seemed to...
Oh, come in, Dave. Come right in. Well, gentlemen, I think in just a few moments you'll both understand the swindle fully, and Agent Reynolds and I will finally be able to go to work on Marius Andre and this man named Randolph.
Lyman Randolph Art Salon, good afternoon.
Hello, may I speak with Mr. Randolph, please? Mrs. Kenmore calling.
Well, this is he speaking, Elizabeth. What can I do for you?
Oh, hello. Lyman, may I speak freely?
Why, certainly, by all means.
Well, this may do you out of a commission, but I think I've found my Robert Adam dining table.
You haven't?
Yes, I think I have, but I do remember your saying that I should have you look at anything I might want before completing the purchase. If ever I was certain about a man, I am certain about Mr. Marius, but after all, you have told me that I wouldn't really feel right unless you personally approved.
Mr. Marius?
Andrew Marius. He's English. The American Foundation of British Arts Decorative Arts suggested his visit here.
Oh, yes.
Do you know him, Lyman?
Well, I don't know Mr. Marius, but of course I know the Foundation of British Isles. Excellent organization.
Apparently. Now, what I want to know is whether or not I couldn't persuade you to join Mr. Marius and me at dinner tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? Well, I'd be delighted.
I would have called you sooner, but I hesitated until now. Certainly, I wouldn't want Mr. Marius to have the impression that there was the slightest doubt in my mind.
Oh, nonsense, Elizabeth. As an art dealer, I'm sure the man would prefer that you receive another opinion.
Oh, do you really think so?
Well, I'm sure of it. The situation were reversed, I know what my own feelings would be.
All right. But you will be discreet, Lyman, won't you? Mr. Marius is...
I will be the very soul of discretion, Elizabeth. You may depend on me.
I know I may. Well, there, I feel much better about the dinner now. 7:30, Lyman, and I can't begin to thank you enough.
The pleasure is mine, Elizabeth, believe me.
So?
She can't begin to thank me enough.
What else?
I should be discreet.
We'll both be discreet. You denounce me and I'll deny it.
That's the idea.
Only don't let me deny for too long, Randy. Louis XV I could defend all night, but Robert Adam is limited to mahogany and 12 legs.
Don't worry, Marius. I'll denounce you without recourse. By the time I'm through, neither you nor Robert Adam will have a leg to stand on.
the reproduction line in just a moment. Friends, when you chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, that good, delicious chewing just naturally helps to keep your mouth clean, fresh, and sweet. The natural chewing action helps to clean your teeth. The lively, refreshing flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum sweetens your breath and gives your mouth a fresh, clean feeling. So, you see, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum gives you more than chewing enjoyment and satisfaction. It's good, and it's good for you. Remember, too, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a long-lasting treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling. Get a few packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum next time you're at the store. Enjoy it often, every day, as millions of people do. Act 3 of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, the reproduction line.
Mrs. Kenmore.
Yes?
Sorry to disturb you, ma'am, but there's a gentleman on the phone. A Mr. Stevens of the FBI. Will you speak with him?
The FBI?
Yes, ma'am. In reference to a Mr. Marius, he says.
Oh, of course, the Foundation of British Arts. Thank you, Charles. I'd be very glad to speak with Mr. Stevens.
Pardon me, ma'am.
Yes, Charles?
Mr. Lyman Randolph is here.
Oh, good. Tell him to come in, please.
Yes, ma'am.
You're expecting someone else, Mrs. Kenmore?
Elizabeth.
Oh, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting. If you're having other guests...
You don't mind, Andrew. This is someone I especially want you to meet.
Oh?
You don't mind, do you?
Well, of course I mind. I understood we were to be alone. However...
Oh, Andrew.
Elizabeth, how are you, my dear?
Oh, Lyman, I'm so glad you could make it.
Well, how can I stay away when you tell me you have exciting news for me?
Lyman, this is Mr. Andrew Marius. Mr. Marius, Mr. Lyman Randolph.
How do you do, sir?
Randolph? Randolph? That name seems familiar.
Oh, really?
Of course, the Lyman Randolph Art Salon.
That's right, Andrew.
Well, this is exciting news. You know, I've been wanting to meet you for years, Mr. Randolph.
Oh, you don't say.
Elizabeth, this is delightful. Only a week before I sailed, Mr. Eden was telling me in the most rapturous terms about a certain armchair Mr. Randolph had secured for him.
Well,
a middle 18th century carved fruitwood, I believe, he said.
Why, yes. But you must bear in mind, Anthony uses the superlative in kindness more often than not.
Well, I see you two gentlemen have a great deal in common. Andrew.
Yes.
An idea just came to me. Perhaps Mr. Randolph would enjoy a look at your Robert Adams.
Oh, I don't.
Now, you have no objection to his seeing it, do you?
Well, none at all. In fact, I'd be most anxious to have him do so.
Robert Adams? An authentic Robert Adams?
You'll see, Lyman, and I guarantee you'll get quite a surprise. Andrew, will you fix yourself and Mr. Randolph another cocktail while I just...
Say, what is this?
I believe Mrs. Kenmore wishes to make a little private unveiling of my Robert Adam. She will precede us into the dining room to arrange the proper lighting.
Why, that's charming. Utterly charming.
I'll call you both in just a minute. Now, don't come in until I do call you.
We won't. How am I doing? Beautifully? You and me both. When I complimented her on her magnificent furnishings, she said wait until Lyman redid them all for her.
Oh, good.
So good that there's no longer reason to denounce me. All you have to say is my table's authentic and the lady's ready to write out a check in five figures.
Well, I don't know.
What's to know? Besides, I've made such a good impression, I'd hate like anything to be made out of phony.
Well, I...
Please, Randy, just for once, I'd like to come out a hero.
For all we know. Hold it. And he said that the king and queen to... Oh, Elizabeth.
Won't you gentlemen come in now?
Oh, we'd be delighted, I'm sure. Mr. Randolph.
Mr. Marius.
Lyman, this is the authentic Robert Adams.
So I see. So I see.
And this is the authentic Howard Stevens.
So, beg pardon?
Howard Stevens.
Of the FBI.
FBI?
American Foundation of British Isles?
American Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Beg pardon?
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
I'm afraid you don't. But we understand perfectly.
We?
The tape recorder and I.
Tape recorder?
Tape recorder.
Just perfectly we understand. Would you care for a playback?
No, thanks.
How about you, Marius?
I think I'd care more for an attorney. Elizabeth?
Yes?
All I can say...
Yes?
All I can say is this is a fine way to say Happy New Year.
So sorry. Andrew?
Yes, so am I. Very,
very sorry.
Well, now that everybody's sorry, shall we get started?
Started where?
To the station house. There's a fine display of authentic American prints. I'd like to get your impression.
Huh, it's very funny.
We must look at this philosophically, Marius. Long as they don't want our impression on an authentic electric chair, we're still in the plus column.
I guess you're right. But philosophically or not, this looks like the end of the reproduction line.
The apprehension of Marius André, alias Andrew Marius, and his accomplice Lyman Randolph was the finishing stroke on this clever fraud in furniture. Both men were brought to trial, found guilty as charged, and subsequently were sentenced to terms of 4 years each in prison. Thus, our files were closed on the artistic careers of two furnishings fakers who overworked the reproduction line.
Remember, friends, when you want a tasty treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of delicious, long-lasting flavor in a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Real taste enjoyment. And besides, you get satisfaction from the pleasant chewing. It gives you comfort, helps relieve tension, and helps to tide you over till mealtime. So do what millions do. Keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy and enjoy it every day. You can enjoy it as often as you want because you know it's good and good for you. Inexpensive, too. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Tonight's story, Alan Hewitt played the part of Marius. Bill Johnstone was Randy. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, Accidental Death, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Rust can cut years from the life of your furnace oil storage tank, but